Thank you, Pastor Barb. Isn't this a great night already? Man, God is moving and doing great things. I'm very honored to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Barb, for the trust in being able to deliver God's word. I don't take it lightly. I take it very seriously. It's a great responsibility. In fact, she asked me to speak a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and I had just gotten over being sick, and I was feeling great that night. It was a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday, feeling amazing. Had recovered, just feeling so good. And then she said, hey, would you be able to speak in a couple of weeks? I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. I'd be honored to do that. And I went home that night and got so sick, I thought I was going to die and literally spent the next week in bed. And I thought, Lord, what happened? I said, yes, and you just allowed the enemy to about take me out. I just want to go home. I'm done. Just take me to heaven. So I feel like the enemy has fought hard to stop this word tonight, but I'm excited and thrilled to be here tonight to give the devil a black eye, amen, and deliver the word that God has given me. And I want to say how excited I am about what God is doing at Faith Builders, as Pastor Barb just shared. It is an exciting season that we're in. How many know it's time to start dreaming big and start believing big for what God wants to do in our ministry and with us? It's time to stop settling for less and believing God for more. And you've heard Pastor Barb week after week just declaring this exciting vision of stepping out of the walls and going out and winning our world. What a great word she shared tonight. I mean, we're battling Facebook. That's where it's come. I mean, we're going to see God's work established and done in this area, and it's the time is not later, the time is when? Now. That's the exciting word that God has been giving to us through our leadership. It's been exciting, and so I believe that this word tonight coincides precisely with what God is doing and where he wants us to go, and the mindset, everybody say mindset, the mindset that we're going to need as a church to go to the next level. I was driving through Starbucks the other day, as I might do every single day of my life. Don't judge me. And Vanessa was there. She was serving coffee, as she always does. So sweet. And I had one of those mornings. I wasn't feeling too good. I, the last couple of weeks had just been battles of sickness. And so she said, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm sick. You ever do that? Just, you know, you don't even have time to, like, speak the positive, you know. Oh, I'm just great in the Lord, you know. I'm just sick. I feel sick. I feel like crud. And I said, I've been sick and going on. And I just, you know, I started just whining. And she's like, oh, she was so sweet. She's like, oh, that is just, I'm just so sorry to hear that. She says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count this joy. I'll drive off. And I drove away and I thought, you know what? She was right. That's what we're supposed to do, and that's what we're going to be speaking about tonight. Turn to somebody and say, count it all. Oh, that was very, very weak. Count it all joy. If I had a subtitle, I'd probably call it Embracing the Process. But turn to James chapter 1, and James chapter 1, going to share a few scriptures tonight, and just let the Lord speak to us tonight. How many know that life is lived in the middle and in the heart of process? So many people, myself included, I've been guilty of this. We are destination driven instead of process positioned. We want to get to the mountaintop. Pastor Paul talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think he stole half my notes. I was very upset at him. But we need to find joy in the trials and in the and faith in the mundane, because it's in those times and in those places that we grow and mature into who God really wants us to be. But how many times are we looking at the next mountaintop as, oh, I just can't wait until I get there, and then everything will be good, right? Because when you're in junior high, you're like, oh, I just can't wait till I get to high school, and then I'll be cool. And then you get to high school, and you spend a couple days in high school, and you're like, oh, dear God, I have 4 years of this? And then it starts all over. I can't wait till I get out of high school. I can't wait till I get into college. I can't wait till I get married. I can't wait till I get a good job. I can't wait till I get a house. And we think of all these things, and we're looking at all these mountaintops, not understanding, not realizing that mountaintops are just short experiences. They're very short-lived because once you get to the top of the mountain, you realize that life is going on, that life is not lived up there. You're like, oh, that was great. Now I'm in high school, and now I got to work. I'm in a new house, and now I got to work. Now I got a new job, and wow, they expect me to work for this and get, right? So it's mountaintops are meant to be memorials. Everybody say memorials. It's those experiences in your life that you can look back and see the faithfulness of God, that you climbed a mountain, that you achieved something, that God brought you through something, you got to the top, and whatever it was, you achieved it. A few years ago, I lost 80 pounds. That's amazing. That's right. I was just waiting for it. I had to wait. Pause. I've gained 20 back. Don't judge me. I love food, so I'm working on it. It's a struggle. But I realized early on, because all I thought about when I started, I walked into the gym at 240 pounds, and I was like, I just can't. I want to be 160 pounds right now. I want to be right now, right? And I realized that, man, if I do this every day, I'm going to be so miserable because I can't lose 80 pounds in a couple days. There is no pill out there. There is no magic wand. There is nothing. There is no, if it is out there, run from it. It's going to kill you. And so I realized early on that I got to get excited and comfortable in the process. And this is what I did, you know, don't judge me. If you're upset, you know, you can just email Pastor Barb later tonight and tell her. But I would take a song called Hell's Bells. I'm sorry, I did. And I would put it in. And the reason I did is because I wanted that music pumping into my ear to remind me that in order for me to get to my goal, in order for me to achieve heaven, I had to walk through the very gates of hell itself. And I would put it in and go, all right, I'm ready. And I think that's the mentality that we need to have as individuals and as a church, that I'm ready to walk through hell. I'm ready to walk through trials and tests, and whatever God allows me to go through, I'm going to count it joy because I know on the other side, God is going to have me prepared for the next season. Amen, amen. So count it all joy. So mountaintops are not endings, they're beginnings. My style of preaching, by the way, is I'm going to read a little and share a little, read a little and share a little. Is that all right? How many are ready for God's word tonight? Amen? You ready for God's word? So here we are, James chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 1. And what a powerful portion of scripture, really. I mean, this thing, I've preached it 100 times. I've heard it 1,000,000 times. And yet every time I read it, I get excited because there's so much packed into here. So let's read. James. All right, stop. Well, I said I'm going to read and talk a little bit, didn't I? I just explained that to you. He says, James. So he identifies who he is and who's writing this passage. He says, James. Now, keep in mind, this is not the disciple James. This is not the son of thunder, son of Zebedee. This is the brother of Jesus. So that's why it's significant. And I'm going to read the Message version here. It says, I, James, am a slave of God and the master Jesus. That's a very significant statement because I don't know about you, but see, James being the brother of Jesus, he could have started and said, I'm James and Jesus is my bruh. Right? JC and me, bruhs. That's my brother right over there. You better fix him to listen to what I got to say because that's my brother Jesus. You know Jesus? Yeah, that's my brother. He didn't use this moment to toot his horn and even to identify who he was, other than to say that I am James, a slave of God, and I'm a slave of who else? Master. He didn't call him brother. He said Master Jesus. He chooses not to label himself as anything other than a slave, a bondservant, a someone who is giving up their life for someone else. So he's not only a servant of God, but he's a servant of Jesus, his own brother. And this is a powerful testimony to the authority of Jesus that his own brother has said, you're not my brother anymore, you're my master. I serve you now. And a bondservant in pretty much all of the Greek is known as a slave. So the idea of a slave or a servant is that their life is not their own. Their life is about serving others And so James includes himself in this life of servitude, and he says, in other words, James is saying, it's not about who I am, it's about whose I am. So it's not about me, it's about the one that I serve. You got an issue with me? Go see my big brother. Go see the guy that I'm serving, because it's his name that I bear now. It's his name that I call now. And so when we understand this tonight, you need to get this in your spirit. You are not, it's not about who you are. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about whose you are. And when you know whose you are, then you can walk in the confidence of who you are in Christ. Amen? So that's kind of how this gets started. James, I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave of Jesus. Then he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. And in the message, it says, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to the kingdom, come, hello. I love the message part. Hello. Hello, everyone. But basically, this is what I want you to get out of this, is that James is writing this letter as a message to the church. And he's telling the church, he's identifying principles that should be evident in the life of a believer. In other words, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself a believer, then what I'm going to say, these are things that should be evident in your life. And he doesn't come out like, you know, soft. He comes out swinging. Let's read the main text. And what I, if you get nothing else tonight, just get this in your spirit. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I love the New King James, it says, or the message says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. So he's saying, hey, count it all joy. Now, I really studied hard on the word all in the Greek. And you know what it means in the Greek? Very good. Everything. He didn't leave any room for error. He says, count it all. In other words, he says, when you add up all your columns, they need to all come to the final conclusion of joy. And I thought about that. I thought, that's so funny, because that's what we do. We make different columns in our life. Let me explain. He says, what we like to do is we put things into perspective, or so we think. So we have a bitterness column. You know, we put things in the bitter. We have a bad day column. How many got a bad day column? Some of us had a see what had happened column. You know, we got that. We've got the it's their fault column. Right next to it is it's not my fault column. We've got a bad boss column. We've got a sickness column. We've got trouble with our cars columns. We got trouble with our kids columns. We got, you know, financial columns. And James says, no, 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 no. When you put all of that together and you take all those things, it doesn't, God's math is not the same as your math. God says, when you add it all up, James says, add it all up, put it all together, all those things you just mentioned, and count it joy, every single bit of it, with no margin for error, with no room. I mean, this is not an easy word. It was not easy to study and preach to the Lord, which I did earlier, and he liked it, so hopefully you'll like it too. And keep in mind, James is preaching this, and he's saying, count it all joy, and you know, some of the things that we're going through, and I'll mention some of the things, you know, that happened to me, but some of the things James is going through, they're going through persecutions, crucifixions, burnings, beatings, whippings, you know, I mean, real things are happening. This is a bad time, and this is the time he's writing, hey, stop whining. That's what he's saying. Stop complaining. Stop calling it what it looks like.
It's a bad day. It's a bad relationship. I don't have any money.
He says, stop doing that. Start calling it joy. Start considering it from a different perspective, that this is a gift from God. Because without joy, without this gift, I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to mature. I'm never going to be able to do anything in the kingdom of God unless I get this mindset and this principle. Amen? So that phrase, all joy, has the sense of being whole. Right, just a whole piece. Count it a thing wholly joyful without a mixture of sorrow. Isn't that powerful? Without any sorrow mixed in. He says, count it joy with no defeat mixed in, with no depression mixed in, meaning there is only room for joy. That's it. There's only room for joy. By the way, he didn't say this so that it could preach a nice message. And we could just use a nice Christianese phrase, you know, count it all joy. This word right here, this is great tonight. We can clap. Woo, this is great. But really, this word is tomorrow morning when you go to work. Right? And you go, or when you get in the car on your way home tonight. And you're like, you miserable. Count it all joy. But there's a reason. We'll get into the reason. There is a reason to count it all joy. It's not just for something exciting to say. So, but now let's kind of continue on. James says, count it all joy when you fall into. In the Greek, when is indicated that it is, everybody say is, going to happen. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. It's a when. You will fall into something, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the next day or the next week. You're going to fall into something. And by the way, how many know that things come out of nowhere and you fall into something? I mean, you're just walking right along and boom, it's like you fall into like 20 things at once. This just happened to me. I was having not a very particular great day at work. All right, it was a really bad day. I was having a really bad day. I'll just be honest. Bad day. Wasn't feeling too good. I'm counting it. I'm adding it up now, right? Because I'm going to get all my totals and be like, bad day. So you had a bad day, right? I mean, we even got a song on it. So I'm adding it up. So don't feel too good. Didn't have a great day at work. I walked outside, and it was 117 on my phone. And I have to walk about a half a mile to get to my car where I'm parked. And so that enough was bad. I get to my car, and I'm thinking, I don't remember my car looking tilted like that. Why is it? And I walk around, and sure enough, I got a tire, like, exploded. And I did what every man's man would do. I called roadside assistance immediately. Mike said, change it. I mean, and then I thought, as I had him on the phone, and they're like, well, where are you at, and how are you going? And I'm looking at, we've got a security gate, and I'm thinking, it's like, it feels like 20 miles to walk back to that gate. I don't know what the guards are going to say. I don't even know if I can get them in here. I'm like, just forget it. I'll figure this out. So I open my trunk. And I have like kind of an old school tire iron thing. It's like an old contraption thing. I mean, I have a newer car, but I don't know. They need to update this kind of stuff. But I have an old tire iron that kind of you have to put into this kind of lever thing and spin this little thing, and this little platform comes up. Well, the tire iron has been in the trunk. So I'm burning my hand. I'm literally going, like, if they had to videotape me, I'd be viral right now. I'd be like, worth millions, because I was like down there, and I drop it, wipe off, sweat's coming on my face, and I'm getting back down there, and then I'm like digging through my car. I like had workout clothes, and so I'm trying, but then the clothes are spinning on it because they're slipping, and then I'm grabbing it, and I'm burning it. And then I get a little momentum going, the car's going up. I'm like, yes, I'm gonna beat you, I'm gonna defeat you, I'm gonna change you, and the thing comes up, and then boom, whole thing falls down. And this went on. This now for Mike, that was probably be like a 2-minute thing. He'd be like, 45 minutes later. Did I mention it was 117? I got that donut tire thing on, and I'm gonna tell you something. I rejoiced right there. That's right. You're defeated in the name. I beat you. Don't need no roadside assistance. But that's how life happens. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for that. When I walked out of work, I was thinking, man, I just want to get home. This has been a day. I feel like I've been beat up all day, and here I walk out to that. That's what happens. We fall into it. And you know, I know maybe you came to church tonight, and you're like, man, I thought I'd get an encouraging word. Pastor Doug's here talking about something bad is going to happen to you. But I thought about it. Wouldn't it be great if God just kind of warned you, you know, like, hey, something bad's going to happen today. So get yourself ready today, because today you're going to have some tests, okay? This is going to be a test. But you don't have it. You just literally, all you know is that life hits you. Boom. One side and the next. And James, he doesn't even identify all the things. I mean, he could literally have laid out a few things to say, look for this, look for this, look for this, and been specific with it. He didn't. He just said, hey, trials come in all shapes, forms, sizes, colors. They come in different looks, and they come from all different places, and they're all going to come, and they come many times at once. But he says, you just got to be ready, because you're never going to get where God wants you to be if you don't learn how to endure a test. Now listen to this. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, many trials. We've talked about that. Knowing, everybody say knowing. In other words, he's saying, hey, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And again, he's reminding us that we are going to grow, mature, and develop patience. And if you will learn to count it joy in these times of testing, that patience will lead to perfection. Not that you're perfect, but it will lead to you being more complete and fully whole and equipped. Everybody say equipped. He says, so that's why. We want to know why. Here's the why. Here's the big why. Why do we count it all joy? Because you know that the tests you go through is a time of proving so that you can develop patience. And once you develop patience, patience will lead to promotion, which is followed by purpose. I'm going to say it as good as I wrote it down, exactly the way God gave it to me. God works this way. Process develops patience, which leads to promotion, followed by purpose. But how many know that we just want to get to promotion? That's all we think about. I want to be promoted. I want to be promoted. I want to be promoted. I want the next level, next level, next thing, next thing. And God's saying, hey, I know you have high-speed internet, and I know you have fast food, but that's not how I cook you. I'm going to marinate you. You're going to grow. And so it's understanding this. David had to prove himself. David, when he went to Goliath, you know, and went to Saul and told him, I'll take on Goliath. What did he say? I fought a bear. I fought a lion. And I could take this guy too. Why? Because I proved. And by the way, when we read scriptures like that, many times we just kind of gloss over it. Yeah, a bear and a lion. Yeah, praise God. No, no, no. Think about this. Have you ever watched like these wild shows on TV? Think about him actually going up and beating a lion and a bear. Are you kidding me? So he beats the lion, and he's all done. And then, see, we're talking about the mountaintop. Mountaintop, got you. What is that, a bear over there? I got another battle to go. Gets the bear done, and then what? Now he's got this big Goliath standing in front of him. But that's what it is. That's process. That's knowing that when I allow God to work on me and use me, that's the proving time. So it's important to understand. This. I wrote this down, and it blessed me. So hopefully it'll bless you. It's important to understand that just falling into trials and tests does not guarantee that you're actually going to grow or mature in that time of testing. That's what James is saying, if you really want to get down to it. It means, he says, just falling into trials doesn't guarantee you're going to grow or mature, but what it does mean is that you have been given an amazing opportunity to grow. You have been given a gift. Now he's given you an opportunity to prove your faith, to watch it walk out, and to let this thing happen and develop. But we just want to get to purpose without patience or process. We want to get to promotion. But many times, man, if we get promoted before process, it's an epic failure. We're not ready for promotion. We fail. You ever work for a leader that didn't really go through a process? It's not pretty. And I believe right now our church is getting ready. It's exciting. We're getting ready to experience the greatness of God. So, but one of the mindsets that we have to just get, and that's why this church is so powerful today, because that has been the mindset of our church. We count it joy. If we go through a banking situation, I love hearing that testimony. I could hear it a million times. We go through that thing, hey, count it all joy. We're going to walk through it. And you come out the other side, and we've grown, and we've matured. And so when you have difficulties in your life, call it joy. When you have a relationship meltdown, call it joy. When you're walking through the fire, call it joy. When life is coming at you from all different ways, your boss is overlooking you, you're being mistreated, whatever it is, the bank says negative. What is that red thing? Negative. Count it all joy. We've been given an opportunity to pass a test, and that test is a pathway to promotion. Whew. How many want to pass a test tonight? Amen? So I'm excited. Let me just say this too, and this is exciting. Like, we've seen our church getting ready to go to the next level, and Pastor Barb has been speaking this message, declaring by faith, and you've just heard it. We've killed lions. We've killed bears, and in the name of Jesus, we're going to take on the giants that are facing us right now. We're going to do it. Where is that faith coming from? It's from people who have been through some things. It's the mindset of a church that is poised to reach our world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Whew. All right, Genesis 37, really quick. I'm going to just tell you a couple things. I don't have 15 points. Doesn't that just make your heart sink when someone says, I have 15 points I'm going to share tonight? And you're like, I don't know if I'll remember one. But if you leave here tonight, I just want this in your spirit. Count it all joy. Genesis chapter 37, Joseph lived this principle out. I love this. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So I want to just give you a very quick layout of Joseph. Joseph lived James chapter 1. Joseph is the living illustration that we can look at. When we first see Joseph, he's 17 years of age. And what is he doing? He's tattletaling on his brothers. How many love a tattletale? Seriously. Right? You don't like them at work. You don't like them in your family. That's what Joseph is doing. Dad! Right? And the brothers are like, right? And then it just keeps going. We can see right off the bat, this kid is so immature. He's a spoiled little brat. He's telling on his brothers. And then his dad makes him a special coat. And you know when he wore that coat. You know, he probably is like, did you guys see the coat? Did you see all the colors? Did you see that? What do you think? What do you think, guys? His brother's thinking, yeah, we're going to take that coat. And you just wait. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound like leadership material to me. Is this the kind of guy you want to follow, right? Somebody that's telling on his brothers, and then he starts having these weird dreams. Just wanted to share something at the family dinner table, you know? And when he lays it out, everyone's like, I don't need to even pray about it. I know what you just said. Counting up 12 here, we bow, you stand. Yeah, that's kind of how I saw it too. You guys all bow to me. In fact, let me share another one. You all bow to me. His brothers are like, what? Even his dad said, what is wrong with you? He's probably thinking, oh my God. You know, son, I love you. I'm trying to help you here, brother. But Joseph is not off to a good start. But I've come tonight to encourage someone that maybe has made some mistakes or maybe it failed and stumbled along the way, that it's not how you start the race that matters, but it's how you finish the race that counts. Maybe you've started slow. Maybe you failed over and over again. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is not done with you yet. We heard Pastor Barb speak it prophetically. God is not finished with you yet. Don't be discouraged. Stop looking back at the failures. Stop looking back at the missteps and the stumblings and the immaturity and all the things that you did. And start looking ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to grow and I'm going to learn and I'm going to be all that God says I'm going to be. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. Aren't you glad that God sees us where we can be and not where we are? Woo. So Joseph is not ready to lead his own shadow, yet alone lead a nation. He's rejected by his family. He's thrown into a pit. Man, I'll just kind of go through it. But he's thrown into a pit. There will always be people that will try to tear you down and tear everything away from you and throw you into a pit. And James says, call it joy. Call it joy because it's in that pit. You don't even know this, Joseph. You don't know this yet. And that's what we don't know. We can't see ahead. But he says, Joseph, get ready. Leadership training 101 just began today. It just began today.
I thought I was going to be in a class and everybody's going to be talking to me and it's going to be wonderful and I was going to be encouraged.
Yeah, if you want to fail really quick as a leader, sure. You got to learn to get. In fact, the Bible says that the pit had no water. And it's like leadership. If you know anything about being a leader, you got to learn how to survive. Because a lot of times leadership is lonely. Aren't you glad? I was thinking about this and I got excited. That about the transition that Faith Builders is in right now, where our bishop raised up this great church, and then he didn't turn it over to a 17-year-old kid and be like, hey, and she'd be running around telling on everybody, and dad, and blah. He didn't do that, did he? He turned it over to someone who's seasoned, who's been in some pits, who's been in some fires, who's been in some storms. I mean, she's done youth ministry. Come on. Hey, woo! I mean, that right there alone. I love the youth. God bless the youth. She's been faithful. She was faithful in those seasons and didn't even ask for it, wasn't looking for it, didn't even realize. Probably while she's doing youth ministry or doing all these things and just being faithful and serving year after year after year, and the promise isn't being fulfilled and the dreams aren't being fulfilled, and she's faithful, not even realizing what God actually had in store, that he was actually planning and developing her for something greater than even she probably understood at that time. Can you imagine if Joseph went right being 17 years old, spoiled, and then went right to the palace? It would have been a disaster. So let me just wrap it up here then. As I said before, process leads to patience. Patience leads to promotion, followed by purpose. Joseph started in a pit. Then he was in captivity. And he had to endure temptation and things that were coming against him. And then he got thrown into prison for something he did not do. And then from prison, he was promoted. But what happened? This is what I got excited about. When he was in Potiphar's house, he learned some very valuable things. You know what he learned? Potiphar was the captain of the army. Joseph was going to be. Now, so we can look and fast forward. Joseph was going to end up being number two in charge of the whole land. He had to have an understanding of the military strategies of the country. Where else better to learn that than in the house of Potiphar? From the captain of the army himself. Then he's thrown into prison, and he has to learn the political system. This is a foreign kid. He's not from this country. Now he's in prison, and he's right there with Pharaoh's own butler and his closest men, and he's right there in the prison, the guards, and you know all these political people are in there, and they're talking politics, and then he's also dealing with convicts and con men and thieves and robbers, and eventually Joseph was going to get promoted to do what? Oversee all the food distribution, where all he was going to be dealing with was people trying to steal money and steal grain. Every step of the way, Joseph is being trained and developed. But it doesn't look like training. It looks like failure. It looks like prison. It looks like a pit. But tonight, I want you to understand, when you count it all joy, when you come to that place to say, God, I'm ready to go through whatever process you have for me, I will count it joy, because I'll get excited knowing that you're preparing me for something greater. Knowing that you're getting, I don't even know what it's for. I just know somehow, some way, when I get the right mindset and I say, God, if I'm in the pit, I'm going to praise you. If I'm in Potiphar's house, I'm going to praise you. If I'm in prison, I'm going to praise you. If you promote me, I'll praise you. It doesn't matter. I'm going to praise you. Would you stand tonight? Maybe tonight you're in a pit or you're in a prison, you're in captivity. I don't know exactly where you're in tonight. Maybe you've been complaining and complaining. Let me just say this. If you want to get out of the pit, stop complaining about the pit. And start thanking God for the opportunity to be in the pit, to grow and to learn and mature. We never get to promotion because we're so busy complaining about where we are. Would you lift your hands tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to rename our tests. Help us to rename our trials. Help us to stop calling them what they look like and start calling them what you say it is. It's joy. It's preparation. You're preparing us for something greater, God. And Lord, let us find that joy tomorrow. Let us count it all joy. Whatever we go through, we count it joy. You're calling us to grow, to mature, to develop, to prove our faith, God. You're giving us opportunities. And Lord, tonight we pray as we leave here that we'll be fully equipped for everything that you've called us to be. If that's you tonight, would you just, one second, I want to pray with you. Father, right now, I just pray over every person tonight. Maybe they've been walking through trials and tests, and it was very easy to get so caught up in that trial and call it what it looks like. But in the name of Jesus tonight, we shift our mindset. We shift our focus from the pit. We shift it to your presence, God. And we say, Lord, this is about you, God. And Lord, we will lift our hands and praise you in the middle of every storm, in the middle of every test, because we know, God, that you have greater things in store. Would you give the Lord praise tonight? Count it all joy.